vessel while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with one of WCRI's favorite all-time clients, Carla Davis is here. Welcome, Carla.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you with us right now. Thousands of people around the listening area are saying, that voice, I know that voice.
Thousands and thousands.
That's because Carla is the owner of the Dove and Distaff in beautiful downtown Wakefield, Rhode Island. Second generation business that has been going great guns. And you do all kinds of things in that wonderful space. I've had the privilege of being there a couple times, and it's very interesting. Give us just a touch of the history before we get into the real reason you're here today. We'll keep that as a surprise.
Well, a brief history of the business is that my father bought the building on Main Street in Wakefield in the 1960s, and he sold early American antiques as well as did refinishing and restoration of that furniture. And an offshoot of that business was reupholstery, because very often that furniture needed to be reupholstered as well. So we became an upholstery shop. And in the 80s, when I started there, I learned to upholster. And
so wait, you started when you were two? You started in the business when you were two?
No, that's nice, Mike. That's okay, very sweet. I was actually in the 80s. I was not two.
Oh, okay. A little older.
But anyway, I had made some poor life choices, and my father was generous enough to offer me a job, and I was smart enough to accept it, mm-hmm. and turned out to be something I was pretty good at, that I enjoyed doing, and really found that I truly could make a living doing it and while enjoying it at the same time, which is a nice thing to find in life. After my father died, the direction of the business changed a little bit because the world has changed a little bit, and early American antiques are a little bit less in demand than they were at the time. And my focus became rugs and bedding and linens and beautiful things that are instant gratification on the second floor of my business, whereas the first floor of my business is custom upholstery and slipcovers and drapery and window treatments, which is less instant gratification.
Now, you also have a portion of the business that's interior design, where you don't only just work in the store, but you go out on occasion?
Well, I do go out on occasion. I install and I deliver. I'm not an interior designer. I have an opinion at all times, and I'm usually pretty willing to share it. I have some experience and some mm-hmm. life experience, but I don't have a degree of any kind. So I have designers I can certainly refer you to, but I do a lot of installations and deliveries and on-site things, just because what I do sometimes has to be done on-site.
All right. For the two or three people that aren't familiar with your business and the store itself, you mentioned upstairs is some instant gratification things. Like, for example, I know that when I went there, bought my wife a bathrobe, and she loves it.
The nightgowns, the bathrobes, the pajamas, the slippers, the personal care items up there are truly worth visiting to see. They're indulgent and beautiful and not overly expensive, and everybody deserves them. And the bedding, the linens and the bedding are something that are sort of a quality of life issue for me. I don't need them to be ridiculously expensive, but I kind of like them to be nice because I'm in my bed every day. So mm-hmm. I find things like that to be quality of life issues that are worth paying a little bit more for me, and I have really beautiful offerings that everyone should really be sure to come see.
Excellent. All right. Now, the real reason you're here is because you started something a while ago, and I'll let you put a date on it, or got interested somewhere along the line on something a little bit unusual. You're the first person I know that loves alpacas.
Well, I'm probably not the first person you know who loves alpacas, but I may be the first person you know who's been crazy enough to, you know, fall into alpaca farming in the short time that I have fallen into alpaca farming.
Well, let's start at the beginning. When did this life decision, as you this, use that this, term a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, this life change, sometimes I refer to it as a midlife crisis. This life change happened to me in the fall of 2015, when I visited a farm in Martha's Vineyard called Island Alpaca, which is a very well-known alpaca farm. It's big, it's beautiful. They're high standard in alpaca farming. And I really only visited there by chance. I was about to get on the ferry and come home, and it was sort of on the road on the way home, and I just sort of stopped, and literally 15 minutes later, my life had changed. And I didn't really realize it quite that moment, but it really had. Literally within those 15 minutes, my life had completely changed.
Now, let's start a little bit with some people might be saying alpaca, alpaca, alpaca. I know what that is. I think I know what that is.
Right. Well, an alpaca is a member of the camelid family. There are camels, there are llamas, there are alpacas, and there are vicunas, which is a wild wild version of an alpaca that you will never see anywhere but in a zoo or out in the wild. They're not raised.
Not domesticated. They're not
domesticated in any way. They're not raised commercially. But alpacas are raised commercially in other countries where they are indigenous, like Peru and Bolivia, where herds of alpacas support families in every single way. Every single bit of that alpaca is used, shall we
say. They're even a beast of burden.
They're absolutely. Down. They're pack animals. They're protectors of herds. They're suppliers of an endless amount of fiber every single year, which you can sell and make things of and make money, and eventually, were you to care to do so, you could eat them.
Okay.
So, and they definitely do in other countries. Then, and even in the United States, there are places where you can have an alpaca burger out west. Apparently, alpaca meat is very low in fat and is advised for people who have been told not to eat meat due to heart conditions. If you've been told not to eat meat, apparently you can still eat alpaca. It's so low in fat. But
well,
I'm really not going to find that out. Most of us here in the Northeast raise alpacas for fiber or urban
kind of
small
like
hobby
kids
farms
eating
or
their goldfish.
A very expensive hamburger, I can tell you what.
All right. So the alpacas are just raised like you would raise any other farm animal?
They are. They have much nicer habits than most other farm animals. They're very easy to care for in regards to their personal habits. They have a communal dung heap, which is very easy to clean up. Their dung is then very saleable because it's a great fertilizer, and you can package it in different ways and use it in different ways, but it doesn't burn your plants, and it promotes deer deterrent features where deers don't like the smell of other herds, so they don't approach things that have alpaca poop because it smells like another herd. So it can be a very effective, not only fertilizer, but deer deterrent. So as you're picking up these little tiny pack of beans from these perfectly mounded mounds that they make for me in two separate places in the field, it's not hard work, and it's perfectly acceptable because you're turning around and you're doing something
there
with it. That makes you really happy.
Oh, that's great. That's good poop, I guess.
Yeah, it's really good poop, and it's just incredibly good fertilizer. I have sort of testimonials as well as personal experiences where I think, oh yeah, that really does work. I can show you that really does work. But
now,
we sell it.
You mentioned the nice animals. For example, I've heard stories, and I've had some experience actually with llamas that are not particularly friendly.
Yeah, llamas can be a little less friendly than alpacas, and even alpacas, I'm not going to refer to them as friendly. They're very sweet, gentle, quiet animals. They don't particularly want to cuddle with you. They don't particularly want you to touch them at all. They consider you a predator, and they will move away from you. You stay in your space, and I stay in mine. And actually, I don't have a problem with that. I have a lot of people who immediately just really want to touch them, and that's because they look very touchable. You have to be pretty close with an alpaca to be able to just reach out and touch them. You know, I can reach out and touch them, but mostly when I have food in my hand. Rarely, other than getting them to do some treatment to them, do I touch them, just because they really don't like it. It's nice to touch them, but they don't really like it. They consider you a predator, and they move away from you pretty quickly.
Okay, that's good to know. And now the real reason that you, well, not the real reason you got involved, but one of the main reasons I would think is because of the fiber, as you mentioned.
That's correct. I'm raising my animals for fiber because they make an amazing fiber that you can then do a number of things with. I've had yarn made from my fiber, which you can blend with different other things. You can put merino, you can put wool, you can put other things in with to give it different properties that are useful for different things. Knitters like different things in their yarn than weavers want in their fiber. So you can have different fibers made. And this year, I had the fiber from the most recent year's shearing actually made into mittens and hats and gloves and scarves that you can relate directly to that animal standing right over there. You know, you can hold it and you can look at it and you can say, this mitten came from Carmela right over there. And yeah, it is. That's kind of a remarkable thing. And I have found that at the end of the day, that is really what the consumer wants.
Now, where do you find people to make these things
for you? I take my fiber to a mill in Connecticut called Still River Mill. It's in Eastport, Connecticut, and it's a small mill that's owned by a couple that have changed careers midlife from engineering to owning a small fiber mill. But apparently they do pretty well because there aren't many mills in New England that do what they do. There's also one in Block Island. There are others, but this is the one that I use. And the one that I use now can take your fiber and create what they refer to as an end product with it, which I think is actually what the consumer wants. In my year and a half of sort of selling alpaca items, I have determined that there are knitters who want the fiber, that just want the yarn or just want the... but the average bear really just wants a pair of mittens.
Well, we'll have to put mittens on the average bear.
Yeah, I'd like that.
If you're looking to visit the store, you can do so because they are open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and they're at 365 Main Street in beautiful downtown Wakefield. And, Carl, there's information on the website, right, about this?
There is at Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery.com.
Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery.com. And the phone number you can call if you want to check things out is 401-284-1170. And you can find out about other products in the store as well as the alpaca merchandise we're talking about. We're going to find out now in the second half of our program today a lot more about what alpaca is doing in Wakefield. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Carla Davis, the owner of the Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery, and many other things, at 365 Main Street in beautiful downtown Wakefield, Rhode Island. And you can go to the website at doveanddistaffruggallery.com if you'd like to get information, maybe even follow along as we're talking. We've been talking about her new love, alpacas, and the material that they produce and have merchandise made from that. And we'll get a little bit more into that as we go along here. And, Kyle, I just want to take a few seconds here. I mentioned at the top of the show, and just now as we came back from the break, beautiful downtown Wakefield. And you, as a merchant there, are pretty involved in that. And maybe just a word on why people might want to shop there versus a big box store.
Well, I think it's really important for people to remember that you must support those small businesses in downtown Wakefield on Main Street, or any small businesses, because the next minute you'll turn around and they'll be gone if you do not. We offer something different that you just can't get on Amazon. I understand there are a lot of things that you can get on Amazon, and I think we're all guilty of it. But I think that you must remember that if you want any diversity in your choices, in your selections, you need to support small businesses, and you need to just remember that we're there and send your friends to them and stop and visit. I think it's just really easy to sort of drive through Main Street every day and never stop. I look out my front door and I can see things on Main Street have changed drastically in the past 4 weeks, and it's affecting all of us. It's we hope that we can offer service and an experience that big box stores and Amazon cannot offer, and we hope that people will remember that unless you continue to use us, eventually none of us will be there.
I think Rhode Islanders have a great example. There's been this huge emotional outburst about Benny's
closing.
It's
painful.
And people that are saying, what do you mean Benny's is closing? And there's a great example that now all of a sudden they have these tens of thousands of fans that want to go there, but they didn't go so much when they had the chance.
That's what always happens. You realize what you've lost, and that's a human condition. That's the way we are. But I think that in the upcoming holiday season, were you to be shopping, I think you should remember to try to shop locally, because you will get a better product, you'll probably get better service, and usually, for me anyway, kind of knowing where my money goes is something I enjoy knowing.
Right.
I don't necessarily know each person personally, but I kind of know where that money goes when I shop locally, and I prefer that to it going to someone I don't know who's very far away.
Right. So downtown Wakefield, check it out. It's just such a great place to walk around. You can grab something to eat. You can shop. You can just have a great time there. So check out downtown Wakefield. And now we want to get back to the alpacas, although alpacas are not naturalized citizens.
That is true. They are not naturalized citizens. They come from other countries.
But they offer a lot. And the products that you sell in your store, obviously, since you talked about that mill in Connecticut, are made in America.
Many of them are. Not all of them. Many of the products I get are byproducts of, as I said, in countries where there every single part of that alpaca is used, mm-hmm. there is much more byproduct than there is here in the United States. So many of the items I have are made by small facilities and individuals in other countries that support their families in ways that are critical to their survival, as well as really special for us, just special in a way that you don't often see. Alpaca fiber is warmer than wool. The core, the hollow core of the fiber is holds air, so it's insulating, and it has no lanolin. The fiber has no lanolin, which is the allergen in wool, and that's what makes people itch and have reactions to wool. Alpaca, you will never have a reaction to it. It is 100% hypoallergenic. It's warmer than wool. There are instances where it can be almost too warm, but that depends on who you are. Tolerance for warm. Most of the things that we have made are made from baby alpaca fiber, which I think they shear and make into wool repeatedly in other countries, and then eventually you can get things that are made from baby alpaca hide, which are pillows and slippers, beautiful slippers, as well as hats and scarves and blankets and shawls of all different colors and sizes, which are almost heirloom products. They're so beautiful. They're not insanely expensive, but they will be something that people will save forever because they're really special and they're really beautiful. They're the most perfect gift of all time, because who doesn't need a nice warm blanket?
That's right. Or a nice warm anything.
That's right.
Now, not to confuse people that may not have been to the Dove and Distaff before, you can't walk in the front door, turn to the right, go to the alpaca shop, and see an alpaca.
That's true. You cannot. But if you would like to see an alpaca, once a month on the first Sunday of every month between 10 and 1 p.m., we have open farm day, and you can come visit the 12 alpacas and see them in my beautiful new barn that I built for them.
12 of them. Wow.
Yeah. Alpacas live in a herd, and the herd that I purchased came as a herd. They had all lived together, and they're a family. I can't breed within my herd as a result because they are a family, but they've always lived together almost in exactly the same configuration that they live now, because that makes them happy. They're just like people. They like to be with their mother and their sister and their aunt. They would like to be with them even more than some of us, but they're not allowed to. And
now, when you said mother and sister and aunt, I noticed there were no uncles or brothers.
Well, the uncles and the brothers are separated. They're kept separated. We have males and females. Occasionally, the males and females, you know, they're always enthusiastic about getting with the other side. Mm-hmm. Occasionally it happens.
So of the 12, there are
two males and 10 women. I have two males and 10 women. The males have managed to make their way into the women's side occasionally because they're
super crafty
boy. Yeah, they're not really different from any other species, I guess. They're quite persistent and somehow turn invisible from what I can see.
There you go. So on the first Sunday of the month, for what did you say, 1 o'clock?
From 10 to 1 p.m. You can visit the farm. Right. Yep. You can also follow us on Instagram at Matunic Alpaca, and it will show you what goes on at the farm almost daily. It'll show you a lot of funny pictures of things the alpacas do and videos that the alpacas make for us, because they're pretty funny to watch. But the farm is at 1314 Post Road in Wakefield, and we live there, so we don't really welcome visitors at all times, but we certainly welcome visitors on the first Sunday of every month, and the alpacas like little baby carrots, and they will eat little baby carrots if you bring them. I know you're going to ask me about spitting. I can see that you were going to say something about spitting with the llamas, and I will say that alpacas do spit. There's no pretending that they do not. Most of the time, alpacas are spitting at each other. Right. They're spitting at each other because if you have that carrot in your hand and only one alpaca can get it, the other one is going to come and try and get it, and the one getting it is going to turn around and spit at her and say, no, this is my carrot. And then what will happen is it will be just a general spitting contest where the five of them or the 10 of them will get around you, and unless you can pass out those carrots pretty quickly, there is a chance that you may get spit on. Other than that, alpaca spitting is mostly between other alpacas when they're really angry, and it's not directed at you. You might get in the middle of it. Don't want to get in the middle of it. If it's angry spitting, it comes from their second stomach. It comes from the lower stomach, and it is a different kind of spit from that just first slightly irritated from my mouth spit. The second really angry spit is the kind of spit that's so awful they can't close their mouths for about 5 minutes after they do it because it tastes so awful. So when you see an alpaca with its mouth kind of hanging open and it looks sort of crazy and you think, what's up with that alpaca? You know that it just had an altercation with someone where it spit the angry spit and it's a foul-smelling bile from their stomach and they can't close their mouths for a while afterwards.
Wow, okay. Well, I hope not to see that.
Interesting alpaca facts.
All right, there you go. Now, alpacas, we mentioned, is 10 and 2. And do they always stay outside all winter long? Or how does that work?
Well, alpacas are from cold weather areas, so you do not need to heat alpaca enclosures. I built my alpacas a beautiful post and beam barn because I look at it every day and I wanted it to be something attractive that I look at. You don't have to have a huge structure the way I do for alpacas, but they like it. I'm not going to say they don't. They like it because it does get cold. Right. They don't. They keep them out of the wind, keeps them out of the snow. So you certainly need shelter of some kind. You need water that doesn't freeze. You need a place to put your hay. But they don't need to be heated. And they actually really prefer cooler weather. When it gets warm in the spring and they're loaded with fleece, they're as fluffy as they're ever going to be. You can see they become really uncomfortable. You can put your finger deep into the fleece and you can feel them sweating. In the coldest day of January, you feel the sweating from They have three chambers in their stomachs, and they are constantly digesting, which creates heat, which creates a body heat. So they're always warm. So they really don't need to be heated, and they don't like it when it starts to get warm, and that's why you need to shear them in May.
So when we had in September, we had some very, very humid and hot days. They didn't like that.
They do not like that at all.
Nope.
They lay around in kind of a lazy way. They don't have as much fleece on them as they do at the other end of the year. So anytime in the summer when it's super hot, they may not love it, but they're not going to expire. As they get more fleece, they literally could expire because they can't release that heat when it gets really warm. So that's why it's so important to get it off them every year as soon as it starts to get warm.
And what about foods that they eat? Is there kind of a grain or
they eat a grain called sweet feed, and they eat hay all day long, just pretty much all day long.
Hay and grain. All right.
Yeah.
So now we found out about their lifestyles and how the guys are no different than any other guys.
Nope.
And how they can be visited, and the merchandise that's brought into the shop. So I think that as far as alpacas are concerned, I think if people want to get a close-up look, 10 o'clock on the first Sunday of the month, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and you can follow it on, did you say, on Instagram, right?
On Instagram at Matunic Alpaca.
Matunic Alpaca, and that's A-L-P-A-C-A. And that's how you spell alpaca. Matunic, by the way, is M-A-T-U-N-U-C-K. A lot of people try to spell it with an I, so make sure you spell it correctly. There you go. Matunic alpaca. And now I wanted to, maybe I have one other thing. I noticed that one of the alpacas had a name that was slightly familiar that you use, the only name you use. You said her name was
Carmella.
Carmella, kind of like Carla.
I guess it is a little bit like Carla. A lot of my alpacas' names are related or come from Bewitched. I believe the people who owned these alpacas previously had a fondness for Bewitched. I didn't name them. No, I haven't had any babies, so none. They all came with their names. No, it's like a dog. Would you change a dog's name?
No,
I guess some people
do,
but I did not. I have a Samantha. I have a Sabrina. I have a...
One of the guys isn't Darren, is he?
No, I don't have a Darren. I have a Buzz and a Charlie. My boys' names are Buzz and Charlie. They are my, I would refer to them as my outreach animals. They're the ones that everybody loves. They're very reachable. They're very reachable, very delightful animals. The boys are a little more outgoing than the girls are. Yes, everybody came with their
name. I didn't know if you were naming them.
No, it took me a while to learn their names. But once you learn the names, they have very clear personalities. There's no question. It would be like not knowing your cat's names. I mean, you definitely know their
names. All right. Well, I want to take a couple minutes and get back to the original business, the Dove and Distaff at 365 Main Street in Wakefield. And we talked a little bit about some of the products you can buy upstairs and so forth. Now, the Fabric and Rug Gallery, you have a huge amount of inventory and samples in there. That's something I'm sure that's just accumulated from the days of your dad. Is that
correct? The upstairs inventory, the rug inventory and the bedding inventory was none of that was there when my father was alive. So that's all accumulated in the past 10 years since I've opened the rug store. The downstairs, the fabric selection and the samples and the things that we do in the upholstery and the custom area, that is certainly has accumulated over the past 60 years, I would say. That's quite an accumulation
stuff.
There. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
There is a lot of stuff there.
That's a polite description of it. But anyway.
along with some probably pretty talented people that I noticed downstairs.
We have my seamstress Joanne is she is a magical lost breed. You will never find anyone like her again. You don't find people who do what we do at all. There is no one. There are very few people who do what we do anymore. It's a little bit of a dying art. I'm not sure if that's because the world is changing. I'm not quite sure. I find it a gratifying thing to do. I really enjoy it. But there is a moment when physically you won't be able to do it anymore. So you better figure something else out.
So if you have a chair that wants to be restored mm-hmm. or something like that, that mm-hmm. was, you know, perhaps a family heirloom, mm-hmm. they can bring it right into you. And
absolutely. Yeah. You can contact me via email, at devondistaff.com. I will respond to you. You can send me a picture of your furniture. I'll give you a price. I'll let you know how much the finish cost may be once you've got your fabric and your labor included. Upholstery is not generally about economy as much as it is about something that's special to you.
Right.
It's not about saving a piece of furniture that's been in your garage for 20 years. It's about saving a chair that is comfortable or that you love or your wife loves or your daughter wants or the value of a piece of furniture is in the eye of the beholder. It does not mean that you can then turn around and get that amount of money for what it's about, something that is special to you and that you want to keep and it's worth getting exactly what you want, because with custom upholstery, that's what you get. It's exactly what you want.
Right. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we had this couch that was my mother's favorite couch. I think it was called a Duncan Fife. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a big furniture
guy. She would have had that upholstered because that would have been a beautiful sofa.
Well, my cousin took it and upholstered it in an orange fabric.
Ooh.
And when my mother got it back.
Ouch. I'll bet that. Yeah.
She was not happy.
Ouch. Well, we see a lot of poor choices. And even every day, sometimes we upholster in poor choices, and I don't get to pick that. But it is really nice when you do something beautiful that makes your heart sing with happiness, because you are reviving something that's the ultimate recycling as far as I'm concerned. You're reviving something that is kind of permanent. And
right. And it's a lot easier nowadays where somebody can take a picture with their phone and send it to
you.
Yes, it is.
It's very simple to find out whether it's something that you feel is worth doing.
Right.
Furniture in general at lower ends of cost spectrum today is very poorly constructed, and you get exactly what you pay for.
Right. So if you have a piece of historical or family heirloom kind of furniture, it's a nice place to take it.
Even if you have just a current chair that you just like.
Yeah. Well, liking is the big part of what
exactly.
you just said.
Exactly.
If it's comfortable. All right. And then upstairs, we mentioned, I know earlier we talked about the bathrobes and the sheets and the pillowcases and some of the rugs and so forth. There's just a little bit for everybody. If they'd like to get out and shop, you can do so. And there's someone upstairs to help you all the time.
Mary Jane is upstairs to help you at all times. She's the best salesperson of all time. She will explain every single thing, or she will leave you alone, whatever it is. But she will tell you what we have. She'll show you all the beautiful rugs and all the beautiful lines that we carry. We have Dash and Albert and Company C and Designers Guild and Fab Habitat. We have so many beautiful things. I cannot imagine there would not be anyone on your list that you couldn't find a gift for at Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery.
Well, Carl, we appreciate you coming in today talking about the Dove and Distaff. And we also appreciate you being a longtime supporter of WCRI, the classical radio station, and advertising with us. And we hope it continues for a long, long time.
WCRI was the best advertising choice I ever made by far.
Well, isn't that nice to say? Thank you, and good luck to the girls and boys at the farm.
Thank you, Mike, very much. I hope you'll come visit sometime.
I can't wait. I'm going to find a Sunday that I can get out there and visit the Matunic Alpaca Farm.
Perfect.
In the meantime, we can follow you on
Instagram.
And we can always check things out at your website, which is the Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery.com. Thanks, Kawa.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
We'll see you all next time on Company Break.